Ready to get your sports banter on? Brian Henninger, love child of Albert Einstein and Howard Cosell, with a body chiseled by Zeus himself. Brandon Sharples, a man who could beat Mike Tyson in a spelling bee. Together, they form the At Odds Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the At Odds Podcast, and we have an awesome show in store for you guys. I'm your host, Brian Henninger. Today is the Super Bowl blowout special. It is Thursday, February 1st, 2018. And we're joined today, as always, by my wonderful co-host, silky smooth Brandon Sharples. Brandon, how you doing tonight, man?
What up? What up? The Super Bowl is on its way. The Super Bowl is on its way. I am super pumped. This is one of my favorite times of the year. This is the only thing about the NFL season I like better than college football. So I'm pretty pumped up. I'm pretty excited. We got a great show for everybody. What's going on with you, Hemi? Anything new?
I went to a Girl Scouts meeting tonight.
Hemi, that'll get you 6 years in prison minimum. Watch yourself.
it was for the local newspaper. Like, a new troop just started up, and they wanted me to come over and talk to their leader and get a picture of them and get an article out about how they just started and they're looking for new members.
Oh, geez.
But yeah,
nice. Yeah, man. I thought
that was funny. That was my big errand that I had to run today for the paper. That was my big story.
Oh, that's an exciting story. It sounded a little sketchy at first there. Yeah. I was a little worried for you. I was like, Hemi, man, desperate times don't always cause desperate measures, buddy. But no, I went to the grocery store today and I dropped $300. And that is because obviously I have children, so I got to feed them. Mm-hmm. I think you have to feed them, but no, I'm just messing. But anyway, yeah, man, I am trying to eat healthy. I got a little chubby and I was like a little bit worried about my health there for a while. I was getting a little bit of chest pains here and there. And, I was like, you know what? Yeah, man, I was a little worried about this shit. When I graduated high school, I was about roughly 160 pounds. I had some muscles and stuff like that, but I wasn't very big. And then, when I hit my peak physique, when I was the strongest and most built I ever was, I was around 185 pounds, maybe roughly 190 at my peak. I hit about 220. And when I was in high school, I didn't even think I had the molecular structure to even hit 200 pounds. And it's taken me on this roller coaster ride and it started affecting my health, I think. And, so today I went to the grocery store and I spent $300 damn. And I guess that's why everybody's fat in this country, because it's cheaper to eat McDonald's than it is to go get some blueberries, strawberries, and kale. So I was like, Jesus Christ. So I got some protein. I got a new blender. I got some all kinds of fruit and all kinds of shit. I got some nasty ass kale salad I'm supposed to be eating. And yeah. So if anybody is listening to this, they have it. Yeah, listening to this, they have some tips for me that they want to go over. I know how to work out, but you know, I've never been the best dieter. I've always just kind of relied on my genetics, which have obviously started to fail me. So I think I need to change the spark plugs or something. So I need some tips. So for all my listeners out there, go ahead and call in now if you want to. If not, you know, drop some comments in there about some maybe some diets you're interested in. I know, Hemi, you were doing that caveman diet. Yeah, you're eating just keto. Meat for a while. Yeah, the keto.
That
I can't do that, man.
Really effective.
I know, but it was too effective.
It gave me too much confidence, and then I decided I didn't need it anymore, and that didn't work.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where I love meat, and I that's all I pretty much eat anyways. But there's some risks to that.
So yeah, there are. You gotta get it. You have to have a little bit of balance. Like, or
you can
run into some trouble. Like some people, if you take it too literally, and you don't even get healthy carbs, like that have like a lot of fiber and stuff, then you can put yourself into like ketogenic shock or whatever, and that's not
keto acidosis.
Yeah, that kind of shit is not healthy.
Yeah, you know, going to kidney failure on that shit, so you gotta watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's what I'd like anybody, if they got any tips, go ahead, give me some tips. I need to get back in shape. You know, once you hit that point where you can barely see your dick when you're taking a piss, you kind of think, I think you might need to reevaluate your life a little bit as a man. So I took a little offense.
Especially when you're erect.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, whatever. But yeah.
All right.
So that's man. That's what I did today. And I wrote, all right, we posted my blog. If anybody wants to check that, we'll talk about that later on the show too.
Oh yeah. It's definitely worth talking about it. Brandon actually has a good voice for writing. So if you guys haven't checked out the blog over at Belly Up Sports, I highly recommend it. It's not just some guy writing like a bland article. Brandon like speaks from the heart with his content, and he backs it up with facts. So yeah, definitely recommend checking out his stuff over there. He does a really good job. But
appreciate
before
that,
we get to that, of course. But before we get to that, we're definitely gonna be talking Super Bowl. Obviously, this Sunday we have the Patriots taking on the Eagles in the Super Bowl. It's like, I think the 7th Super Bowl that Tom Brady's been in. I'm pretty sure.
8th.
8th? Okay, I apologize. Sorry, based Tom Brady. there's a lot of stuff I want to talk about with the Super Bowl. Now, do you want to start with, like, reminiscing about previous shit, talking about silly stuff, or do you want to go right into the actual preview and then we'll fuck around?
Let's just talk about – we can talk about some of our favorite Super Bowls and – some of our favorite moments. We'll get into the prop betting, and then we'll just get into the let's entertain these people for a while. Catch them on a hook.
All right. So what's your all-time favorite Super Bowl moment? We'll start with that.
Honestly, I would have to say I think it was when Seattle didn't run the ball. Because
they threw the interception in the end zone?
And yes. I'm a huge Minnesota Vikings fan, them over everything, but I just have always appreciated the Patriots and Tom Brady. I love a good dynasty, and I truly thought they're going to lose that game. And I always wanted Tom to just get this rack up rings because he has so many haters, you know what I mean? And I just loved his success. And I thought he was going to lose. And when they didn't give the ball to Beast Mode and he threw that pick, Butler played it perfect. It was actually a good play call. Butler just played it perfect, and it was just one of those things where the play call was fine, the defensive scheme was fine. It was everything was called perfect. It was just who made the play, and Butler made the play on that ball. And it was just so shocking to watch that you're just like, yeah, it's first down, they're running that ball. And Tom's going to have very, very limited time to get that ball back. So yeah, man, that was probably the most shocking moment I've seen in the Super Bowl because of just the way it transpired and how it literally led to them winning the Super Bowl right then and there. So you couldn't have asked for a more clutch and just shocking way to win a Super Bowl. So that was probably my coolest and most shocking Super Bowl moment.
For me,
what about you?
It was David Tyree, Eli Manning play, the helmet catch. I mean, especially for somebody that has always been a Belichick and Brady hater, somebody that has drank the haterade full on, to see Eli like get out of an easy sack. I mean, it makes no sense how he did not get tackled by that defensive lineman and then dance around in the backfield and then just heave it downfield, and then the defender plays it perfectly, smacks right at the guy's hand as he catches it, and he uses his helmet to brace the football as he crashes to the ground. and actually holds on to it on third and five with like a minute, less than a minute to go in the game, basically sets up the, the game winning and it ruins the Patriots' perfect season. I mean, it was just everything all in one. So for me, that's definitely my, I know you hated it. So this is, I knew there was no way you were going to pick it. So I had no worries about copies here.
I hated it for fear.
Even though you hate
it, I hate it for fear.
Yeah. But it's
well, let me tell you why I hate it. Let me tell you why I hate it. I know it's not just because Brady got beat in it and he didn't get his fourth ring. It because that did suck. I didn't want him to get it. I didn't want him to get harassed like that. But I love history, and you don't see history enough. And we were gonna see a perfect season that probably won't be duplicated ever again. And if it does, it won't be anytime soon. Two, I can't stand those fucking retards from the Dolphins 72 undefeated team that went 17-0, like Mercury Morris and shit, popping bottles every time the last person loses. I'm like, you guys were whack as fuck. That there's a reason why that 17-0 Dolphins team is never, ever considered a top team, the top team in the NFL. They did not play a playoff team the entire season. Until they got to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was, you know what I mean? They didn't have to play those extra couple of games. And this look at the football metrics. They were just mediocre by our standards. And I just can't stand watching them pop bottles and act like they're the greatest team ever. Like, fuck them. Fuck Mercury Morris. I couldn't like him less. He's such a D-bag. So we didn't get to see a 19-0 team. And Eli's mouth-breathing ass wins a fucking Super Bowl. And, you know, Belichick and Brady take a hit to their legacy on it. And then it fucking happens again. It happens again. Another miracle catch and throw. And just, oh, my Lord, it couldn't be worse. Just, oh, my God. And then they were a sixth seed. Like, give me a break. Like,
they're by far the worst team to ever win the Super Bowl. Like, we're probably going to mention later, like, the best teams ever that won it. But – the Giants that year against the undefeated Patriots are hands down the worst team that ever won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it to their defense though. They kept the best offense of all time to 17 points, and they harassed Brady all night. So I mean, I'm not going to call it a complete miracle because the defense played their part and they did what they were supposed to do. But that offense, they miracled that win. That's fucking stupid. I was so mad. I was so mad. Oh, actually, that Super Bowl, they held him to 14 points, not 17. The 17 one was the next
17, one. 14 was the final score.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so that was crap. But I was really, I did not like that at all. I wanted to see history more than just Brady winning the ring because I want Mercury Morris to never be able to pop another bottle ever again in his entire life.
Okay, now, Mercury and Morris, you know how he pops the bottles whenever the last team loses. What about the Browns this year? Do you think that they'll get together every year and they'll like pop open some ice house for whenever the last team wins every season?
I don't know. They should. How many people showed up to that Browns like winless parade?
Thousands. And it was hilarious.
I think it's awesome.
They did a circle around the stadium for how many wins the team had in the season.
Dude, honestly, a lot of people are like, oh, you're not
did
a
you see some of the signs? They were amazing.
Yeah. Oh, I saw some of the signs. And I did you see some of the Browns players were saying, like, you're not a true fan if you're out there celebrating us being winless?
No,
I'm like,
a real fan.
To me, yeah, those are the real fans, man. You want to know why? Because they're sick and tired of the bullshit.
Yeah.
Year in and year out, they sell out season tickets. They show up to these games. They're one of the most passionate fan bases in all of sports, regardless of win or lose. And they're just, I think they deserve to have some wins. At least we at 500, at least make the playoffs for these guys. You know what I mean? But you won one game in the last 2 years and we're not true. And I'm not a Browns fan, but you guys are not true fans because you're sick and tired of it. This is a big fuck you, middle finger to ownership, basically telling you, look, we need more. We deserve better. And I think it was the best thing you guys could have done, because I think they don't want to be humiliated like that again as an organization. So I think, you know, you're going to see a little bit more money going out, and they're, you know, you may see them going out after more free agents, but, you know, next couple of years, because of this kind of humiliation. Yeah, I think he's going to the Broncos from what I've been reading, but we'll see what that happens. It looks like Broncos are close to dealing with him. So, but yeah. Right, so what about caller, your, what's your, so
I'm going to go.
Okay.
I'm going to go get our caller, and then I'll let you.
I'm going to talk about my, me. I'm going to talk about my favorite Super Bowl.
Okay.
All right. So I would say my favorite Super Bowl was this very last Super Bowl that we just watched, the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots. 34-28 to 3, blown lead. You've never seen anything like it. It was amazing. I loved it. Every minute of it. And you know what's funny is that Tom Brady is so good and Bill Belichick is so good that going into the fourth quarter, I'm watching the Super Bowl with a bunch of guys at my brother's house, and I look at my brother and those other guys, and I'm telling them straight up, look, I don't think this is over. I know it sounds fucking crazy, but it's not over till it's over when it comes to Brady. You there, Brian? I hear something.
Yeah, I'm here.
Whatever. Anyways, we got a caller?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to let you finish your thing first before we brought him on.
No, but you can come on. We'll get in there.
You might know this guy. Brandon from Columbus would like to say a couple words. So take it away, Brandon.
What's up?
Hey, guys. What up? Charpold.
What's up?
Yo, I tuned in. All right, first off, yeah, hope you guys are having a good time.
Of course.
I show here, listen to it. Had to call in, though. I heard Charbot, were you trying to call up the Browns fans for some shit?
No, I was.
No, he was actually praising Browns fans.
Okay, I don't care. I want to say to Charbot, okay?
What?
It's Charbot, you clearly did not listen to my podcast episode.
No,
with
Andy. I definitely listened to it. I heard what you said.
Okay, then you don't. I couldn't believe it. You guys didn't know it was a podcast called Garbage, and I had Hemi on it. And I don't know, Hemi painted it as like this motivational speech, which I guess is okay, but that's not really what I try to aim for. But anyways, Sharples, you. I feel like an asshole now because you're praising Browns fans. I'm kind of like feeling like a dick here, calling it.
No,
trash.
You can call me up.
All right. So, dude, you posted, and I said it on the episode. Like, I want to hear your reason why you are done with the fucking Vikings. Because, dude, they went to the NFC Championship with a third-string quarterback, and you have the fucking gall. The gall to say that you're done with the Vikings? Dude,
no,
I don't know.
Hey, first of all, everybody that knows me, and these listeners, these new listeners will soon learn, I am an impulsive, shoot-from-the-hip fucking person, and when I get angry, I say things. And I was – all right, first of all, I know you went back to when I posted that thing, should I be a Texans fan or a Browns fan? And I had a vote because
–
now, this is why. I pride myself on my ability to see quarterback talent, okay? And I've always almost been right every fucking time. And – I did not want Teddy Shitwater as our draft pick. And when we drafted, I was massively big on Derek Carr, like huge on him. And all my posts prior to the draft was like, please, I would take Derek Carr number one if I'm Houston. And we traded back in the draft, and all the pundits and shit were talking about how we loved Carr, blah, blah, blah. And I was jacked up. I was fucking screaming at the TV, we're getting Carr, hell yeah, I can't believe he fell this far. People are retarded. And boom. We take Teddy Bridgewater. I was fucking furious. Absolutely.
I don't like half my family, but guess what? They're still my family. All right.
Hey,
you gotta live with
it
as a fan.
I am living with it. I didn't change teams. It was an impulsive shit talk. I was super pissed. And the whole city of Minnesota and St. Paul, like Minneapolis and St. Paul, like the whole city just adores Teddy. Because by all accounts, he's actually a pretty decent dude. All his interviews are really good. He's a good mama boy,
yeah,
whatever.
He's a good dude,
and I have no personal. This is a football thing, and
okay, you're derailing this into going into Teddy Bridgewater. This
that was the whole start. That was the whole start of why I abandoned them a couple years ago. And then on the NFC Championship game, I was pissing down at the Vikings because, dude, we're on the brink of hosting a Super Bowl trophy in our own stadium. We were the only ones that were designed correctly to even have a chance against Brady. I don't like the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they're whack as fuck, and they have Nick Foles as their quarterback. I cannot believe we got blown out again, like we did against the Giants, and then
You guys should not beat the Saints, and you blew your load too early.
Here's the deal. I want to talk about the Saints game real quick while you're on the phone. Okay, everybody said we blew it. Or no, the Saints blew it, right? No, we fucking blew it. We were up 17-0, beating their ass, and Breeze was atrocious in the first half. As a matter of fact, he wasn't very good in most of the third quarter. We were up 17-0 going into the third quarter. No, hold on. Don't cut me off here because I have a good point.
I'm going to make a better point, but go on.
No, you're not. We threw a pick in our own red zone, and for one, against the Saints, and then two, we got a blocked punt. They got two gimme perfect field condition or field position for them to score. I think if we don't throw the pick there and we don't get the punt blocked, that it's not even a question who's going to win that game. I'll take the team that was better for three quarters.
Yeah, the offside was bullshit on the block on that when they waved off that blocked punt. That was bullshit, and that was the swinging point. Yeah, they did. No, for the Vikings, weren't they? No shit, I'm thinking of a different game. My bad.
Yeah, you're thinking of Patriots.
but Sharple.
Yeah, man.
Here's the thing.
What?
You said that you guys blew it, right? Now you guys did end up winning, but then like you were just blowing Tom Brady for the Falcons win, like for the for them beating the Falcons last year. So I mean, it was more Drew Brees. You gotta give Drew Brees credit, man.
I didn't give him credit. I did not give Drew Brees credit, but we shut him down for basically three quarters, and then he did have an amazing fourth quarter. But we handed him field position on two possessions. People forget we were up 17-0 until literally the last minute of the third quarter. Like, it's not like we blew or like they blew the big lead against us, and like we threw this miracle. Like, we deserved to win that game. We're the better team for majority of the game. They came back in the fourth quarter, and everybody says that they choked. No, we choked, and then they choked again. Like, we choked, then they choked. So it's like we both choked. The better team won. We beat the shit out of them in a regular season, and we were wrecking them for the first half, and we held them scoreless for almost the entire third quarter too, and that offense is potent. So I thought we were the better team, and we should have beat them. And I think I don't know what the hell happened. I really don't know what the hell happened in that NFC championship game, but we fucking blew our load, and I was mad. And that's why I really derailed this conversation
by bringing up the Vikings. I really derailed it. All right.
That's what callers are for.
So last year, So last year was definitely the best Super Bowl. I'm going to say the best finished Super Bowl, though, was the Titans and Rams. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. So.
Stopped at the 1 yard line.
That was pretty sick. Yeah, you can't argue that. I think like when Seattle didn't run it and win, and that play you're just talking about now, those are both awesome endings.
Going in with the show on turf, Isaac Bruce.
If you actually look at all the New England wins, they're all super close. They're all like really good games. Like they all have like walk off field goal wins or like, you know, last minute, like the Philadelphia came up like 10 yards short to take the lead on that one. And Carolina, they had a last second field goal, and then same with the St. Louis win. And then what else did they have? They had Seattle where they didn't, you know, Seattle didn't run the ball. Then last year they had the 28-3 comeback. I mean, they got a lot of crazy shit. They haven't really blown anybody out. You know what I mean?
I mean, they all been great.
Yeah.
All right, I just want to call in. I'm gonna hype some of my shit. Real quick. Hey,
go ahead.
Hey, I do a podcast called Garbage. I had Henry on it last week. I have some people on it every so often, but typically it's just like me. I don't know if it's interesting. It's kind of a phone call. Like last week I cursed about how I feel like an idiot now, but you know, how parenting isn't hard, Charcoal. It's just exhausting. You know? It just really isn't that hard. It's just exhausting. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, it's fucking hard when you don't have a good partner.
No, it's just exhausting. It's not hard.
Hey, all right. So now that would be $3,000.
All right, guys.
That's how much we charge for your time.
All right, guys. All right, guys. Later.
All right, later.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Brandon.
Thanks for calling.
And not to toot my own horn, but I think I was his best guest he's ever had. It was hands down an awesome episode when I was on his show. So if you haven't listened to it, I was on there and it was great. We talked about a lot of cool stuff.
I'm laughing right now because I just ripped ass so hard. I was wondering if my mic picked it up.
We did not. So thank God we don't have a smellophone.
Dude, I made the most amazing pot roast in my slow cooker, and I put a bunch of onions and shit and potatoes and, you know, got some taters going, some portobello mushrooms. It's definitely tearing my stomach up a little bit, but it was damn good. But anyways, back to what I was talking about real quick.
All right.
That New England last year's Super Bowl for me was the best Super Bowl ever. And it was in it's not just because it's Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady, but the three, I still didn't think they were down. You know, it's like one of those things where you almost have faith. It's very unlikely, and you know, I definitely was feeling like a little anxious for Tom Brady on that one. I want him to get another ring, but I never thought it was down. You know, I never thought that it was down and out. Everybody's fucking making fun of him on Twitter, and he goes, you see like little Bow Wow making these videos in the stands, like laughing and cheering and talking shit about the Patriots, like Snapchatting it, and then they fucking take the lead, and he's like, he posts another Snapchat of him just looking devastated. And I'm just like, ah, man, it's a good day when Lil Bow Wow's feeling like shit. So I love that, man. Everything about that win was just a fuck you to Roger Goodell for taking Brady off those four games and trying to sabotage that season. And then he had to hand him the trophy. You know what I mean? And just the way that game played out. And Arthur Blank is actually super pissed because Robert Kraft made their Super Bowl championship ring with 283 diamonds, 28-3. And Arthur Blank is the owner for the Falcons, and he was super pissed about it. He even made comments to CBS about how he didn't think it was appropriate to have 283 diamonds in their ring and shit. So I thought that was super funny. But yeah, what's your favorite Super Bowl?
Okay, I barely remember this, but this is more historical. But I can't say last year's because I don't want to copy you. So I would say second best ever was 1991.
Let me see if I can get.
Dang, I already ruined it.
Guessed. I know, but I was going to say, was it the Bills? It was going to be when the Bills missed a kick, right?
Yep. Scott Norwood, wide right. The closest score ever in Super Bowl history, 20-19. They missed a field goal with 8 seconds left in the game, and that begins the series of four consecutive Super Bowl losses for the Bills. So
yeah, I knew you were going to say that when you said it was historic. Yeah. I actually thought about talking about that, but I was like, it was 1991. And like, I remember the Buffalo Super Bowls, but not well. I just remember the one that I remember the most of all of those Super Bowls was the 1993 one when Dallas fucking put 52 on them.
Oh,
and I remember it would have been worse. But I can't remember the defensive lineman's name. It might have been a linebacker. I can't remember. But he scooped the ball up, and he was running it back, and he's like put his arm up in the air, like, you know, celebrating his touchdown, and he got knocked out of his hand. So it would have been like 59-17. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that play. I remember that play pretty well. But, yeah, unfortunate for Buffalo, man. Going to four straight Super Bowls is just amazing. And I watched that documentary on it, and they were talking about, you know, after the third one, they a lot of people didn't pick them to go to the fourth one, and once they made it, they're talking about how like a lot of people in the media were just sick and tired of Buffalo making a Super Bowl and were just trashing them all the time for losing, and they like nobody picked them, and it was crazy, but I wish we were older for that one, but that's like straight up Ray Finkel, laces were in, they were in, no dude. I actually just watched Ace Ventura the other day. I can't get over that movie. It is so funny.
the original is a classic.
Yeah, he's like, I saw his room. Cozy, if you're.
I don't know why, but I think the part that always stood out for me in that movie was after the whole shark situation And then he comes out of the bathroom and he's just soaking wet. His clothes are in tatters. He's just like, do not go in there.
No, the best part of that scene is when he's walking out and he's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Ventura. Mr. Ace, I'll have the plumbing checked immediately. And he goes, be sure that you do. If I was drinking from the toilet, I might have been killed. But anyways, I honestly, we got to get off that topic because I'll quote the whole damn movie right now. I don't want to.
Okay, so we'll switch over from best games and favorite moments to who, in your opinion, is the best Super Bowl winning team of all time? Every winning, so you can't say the 18-1 Patriots.
I was going to, too. Shit. Oh, Lord. I want you to go first because I got to think about this.
Okay.
I got to think about this.
For me, I'm going to go with the 84 49ers. They had Joe Montana. They went 15-1. Bill Walsh as the head coach. They beat the Dolphins.
That
38.
That's when they beat what's his face? Marino, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they had Wendell Tyler as their running back and Dwight Clark receiver. I mean, 5 Hall of Famers on that team. So, yeah, I'd say 49ers that year. I'm not going to say the 72 Dolphins. I will not do it.
Yeah, fuck them. Idiots. But, man, this is tough. There's some really good choices here.
There are.
There's some really good choices. I don't know, man. That 98 Denver team was pretty fucking good.
Terrell Davis.
That 115. Yeah, with Terrell. That beat Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It should have been Minnesota. Minnesota's 15-1 that year. That was the year Gary Anderson missed that kick to send Minnesota to Super Bowl. He was perfect all year and missed the only kick of the year going to the Super Bowl. But that Denver team was pretty badass. Elway was at the tail end of his career, but he's still playing like his prime. I mean, we had Terrell Davis freaking ran for 2,000 yards, I'm pretty sure, that year. And they had Shannon Sharp. I mean, they had a pretty dope team. They're pretty good. I guess it's just those are teams. I'm just saying teams that I watch play. I'm not sure about these 84 teams. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
From what
I wouldn't complain about the 85 Bears. I mean, that's a classic team.
And yeah. But
a lot of people always.
These are just teams that I've watched. I like last mm-hmm. year's Patriots team was damn good. And I like that 98 Denver team that beat Atlanta. I like mm-hmm. that team. So I like those two, I think. Those are my the two most complete teams, in my opinion. I think so, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some damn good teams. But, I mean, if you want to go any Patriots team, I would say the 2004 Patriots. I mean, they went 14-2 in the regular season. They beat the Eagles that year, actually.
I know. That's what T.O. was on that squad doing.
Like Corey Dillon, remember, as their running back?
Oh, yeah. Corey Dillon, man.
Deion Branch had that breakout Super Bowl performance.
Their 2014 squad that beat Seattle was 12-4. They're really tough. They're really tough. But that 2004 team was pretty good. Their defense was actually really good that year. I think they were ranked like one or two in the entire league, and their offense was ranked like top five too. This is just off the top of my head. I have to look. I can probably look somewhere. But there's a couple of teams like that 2017 that got beat by the Giants was just so good. They were number one in offense and 4 in defense. They were just a monster.
Oh, I know. Squad.
I mean,
they were literally killing everybody.
Yeah.
If you had Tom Brady on your fantasy football team that year, you won your league.
Yeah. But I think last year's Patriots team was probably their best team besides the undefeated team. They won 14-2 last year, and They were ranked top three in offense and ranked number one in defense for points allowed. And they're really good. They're really good. So our yards anyway. So their overall rank was just ridiculous. So I think that I think that's their best squad besides the 2018 that or 2017 that went 16-0. So I like it, the Patriots are just an amazing dynasty, but I do like that Denver team. If you guys get a chance, look at that Denver team and their roster. And, you know, they actually, if I remember correctly, they didn't lose to like week 12 or something like that. I'm going to look them up while you're talking. Go ahead and talk. I'm going to look them up.
All right. Well, if there's any other team that we can bring up, I would say we briefly mentioned them when talking about the Bills, but I would say the 92 and 93 Dallas Cowboys were goddamn amazing too.
I love those teams.
Yeah, I mean,
oh yeah.
Around that time was when the Browns were gone, so I was like searching for a team because I didn't know the Browns would ever even come back. But I think around the time that the Browns left, that was when the Packers were really good. So I kind of latched onto the Packers briefly. Everybody was in love. Like at that time, like if you were a bandwagon fan, you were a Cowboys fan, a Bulls fan, and
Yankees or always. Something like that.
Yeah. Yankees weren't that good in the early 90s.
Well, the Braves went to the
World Series like 4 years in a row or whatever.
Yeah, but think about when the Bulls were winning titles with Michael and when the Cowboys were winning all the mid-90s. Well, I guess early 90s too, but the Yankees started winning like 96, 97.
Yeah, it was.
But I just looked up the Denver team, and I was wrong, but they went 13-0, not 12-0.
Oh, okay.
They went 13-0, and they lost by four to Giants. Fucking of course.
Always the Giants.
fucking people up. And then they just played rested some players. They lost the very next week to the Dolphins and they ended up 14-2. But they're really good that year. They're really good. They lost to the Dolphins and then they played them first round of the playoffs, beat them 38-3, smoked the Jets by two touchdowns and then beat the Falcons by two touchdowns. So they're a hell of a team. Let's see what else they had here. Yeah, this is when Terrell Davis had over 2,000 yards rushing. He was like the MVP that year. They were awesome. But it looks like NFL Network ranked them as the 12th greatest Super Bowl champion. So I'm sure they had some whack
teams. That's pretty good out of over 50.
Them. You know what they are? They're what my blog was about, which is what we're going to talk about later. They probably ranked the 69 Jets as one of the best teams. You know, they always pick some bullshit.
I looked at a couple of lists. I know one had like the 66 Packers, the first, you know, champions.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah, have fun with your 235-pound defensive tackle. Whatever. I don't care. But yeah, that's
right.
Let's get into this.
Yeah, let's talk about this year's actual game.
All right.
Do the Eagles have a chance without, you know, with Nick Foles as their starting quarterback? I know that they've surprised people. I've picked against them in both weeks, in both of their playoff games so far, and I've been wrong. But do they have another rabbit to pull out of their hat?
No.
Nope.
I'm just going to say.
What do you think will be different this time? Because they faced some good teams. I mean, they beat last year's Super Bowl, could have won, the Falcons, and then they beat the number one seed, the real number one seed, because they earned they were about the same record, the Vikings and the Eagles.
They were both 13-3. They won on some stupid tiebreaker.
And then they beat the Vikings, so they've been able to do it, and they looked pretty good against the Vikings.
I could tell you.
If that team shows up, you don't think they have a chance?
No, I'll tell you what's different is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That's what's different. What's going to happen, in my personal opinion, is I'm probably cursing the Patriots right now because I seem to always curse teams. But I haven't cursed any of the other teams that I've blasted in favor of the Patriots besides the Giants. So I think I'm all right. But I'm telling you, I think what's going to happen is it's going to be a pretty decent Super Bowl. The Philly might even go into halftime with a little lead. Honestly, they might. And people are going to talk shit on Twitter, and they're going to be like, oh, is Brady's career coming to an end, blah, blah, blah. And what's going to happen is the offensive line for the Patriots is going to have a little bit of a tough time with Fletcher Cox in that defensive line. I think the guards, Thuney and Shaq Mason for the Pats are going to have some serious problems up front at first. And I think that Brady's going to be under some heat for a while, probably maybe even the first full half. And it might be a low scoring first half. You know, they might go into the halftime, like, you know, 14-10 or, you know, 13-10, something along those lines, something low scoring. And then Patriots are going to do what they always do. They spread the field out, they make adjustments, and they're just throwing the ball to everybody that has a fucking jersey that's eligible. They're just going to sling it all around. Deion Lewis and James White are going to have big games, both of them. And they're going to catch a lot of balls. I think Deion Lewis is probably going to catch over 10 balls out of the backfield. And I think they're just going to wear them thin. They're going to wear them down, and they're just going to out-scheme them, and they're just going to be too tired. And they're going to be too mentally drained to finish that game. And then, you know, Belichick and Brady are going to win their sixth ring. And I think that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, Fletcher Cox for the Eagles is going to cause some problems. And he'll be a staple in the game the whole time, but they'll adjust to him. And the Eagles like to fly upfield. They like to fly. They like to blitz. They like to come with the heat. And that's where that screen game is going to come in. And there's nobody better in the entire league at the screen game than Tom Brady. And so that's going to be their problem. I don't think they have anybody that can match up with Gronk. Nobody. He's healthy. He's clear protocol. I don't think anybody's going to match up with him. So yeah, the best secondary player for the Eagles is Patrick Robinson. He's probably going to be on Amendola. So is there a linebacker that's going to be able to cover Gronk? No, there's no linebacker in the whole league that can probably cover Gronk, and not let alone
Gronk
on there.
He's healthy too. I mean, he literally just got cleared for the concussion protocol today.
Yeah, even a 70% Gronk's going to catch a touchdown. I mean, Gronk's just unbelievably awesome. So I'm interested to see how Amendola does against Patrick Robinson. I think that's going to be a hell of a matchup. I know Patrick Robinson he graded out as like the fourth overall corner. So, and Amendola has been solid. He just catches everything thrown to him. So I'm excited about that. And I think the one chance that Eagles have is I think that they got to run Blunt and Ajayi, and they got to have a good run game. And some teams have had success with the run game against the Patriots. So that's like, I think that's their only chance. I think that's not really me breaking it down. I think everybody that knows football knows that's the only way that Eagles are going to win is if they can get a run game going. I don't think that Nick Foles is going to have the nutsack during this Super Bowl to really win this game against Tom Brady. It's just not going to happen. He's a backup. Everybody knows he's a backup. He's not one of those backups where like he's a fringe starter and he may go to a different team. He's been to different teams, and you know, he had that great year with Philly that first time. He was a named starter. He threw like 23 touchdowns, 2 picks, and after that, he just been a mediocre quarterback. And that's who he is. And I know he tore up the Vikings, but those are outliers. You know, a lot of quarterbacks have had outlier, you know, performances in the playoffs, and it's just, you know, it's just the nature of the game. But I mean, from a consistent basis, I don't think Nick Foles is going to be able to put any points up on the board. So they're going to have to run the ball, and Blunt and Ajayi is going to have to do that. Now, Ajayi's been playing the Patriots twice a year for the last couple of years, and Blunt was on the Patriots. So, they kind of understand what this Patriots team's about. And Patriots, they got their linebacker, like a Landon Roberts. When they get going downhill, you know, we'll see how Roberts performs. So, I'm pretty excited about that matchup. I said Cox. What else we got? I just think that yeah, you got the who's the tackles? Who's the right tackle for the Patriots? Waddle. Brandon Graham's pretty sweet too. That whole defensive line for the Eagles is awesome. That unit, they got the best unit on the field is the defensive line for the Eagles. And Brandon Graham's pretty sweet. He's going to be rushing the edge on the right-hand side with Waddle. So you're going to look at that. They're both really tough. They're both really good. They both rank out high for the Pro Football Focus. I don't know if you ever go there. If you guys get a chance, go check it out. And So that'd be sweet. It's a sweet little matchup. But I think the players that are going to make an impact, I think Zach Ertz is the only player in the passing game that's going to make an impact. I think Zach Ertz is going to have a pretty decent game. And I think that Ajayi is going to be a pretty decent. I think he's going to catch some passes out of the backfield because they're going to have to do that. So those are my matchups I'm looking forward to. But for a prediction of the game, I think that I think in halftime, Patriots are probably going to be up like, I don't know, man, maybe like 17-10, maybe 17-13, something around there. And then I think once you make the adjustments, you're going to look at a couple. I think you're going to see a double-digit win by the Patriots. So this isn't going to be too contested once the second half goes. That's my prediction. Mm-hmm. I'll have to think of a good score. I think like 34-17. 34-17, yeah. I think the Patriots win.
Now, I do think the Patriots are going to win, but there are some things that I think the Eagles do have going for them. I think overall the Eagles have better playmakers, I think. But where the Patriots have the edge, obviously, is Brady and coaching and adjustments. But there are a couple things I think the Eagles could do that might help. It seems like anytime people get a decent lead on the Patriots, the second they start playing it safe, the Patriots just fucking feast on that. It happened last year with the Falcons. It happened last time against the Jaguars. So, you know, if you just get a lead on the Patriots, just keep playing them the way you played them when you've got the fucking lead, you know? I don't get...
Yeah.
Just keep doing that.
People panic.
Yards and just trying to use up clock, you're just asking for it. So I think
I'm a big proponent of that too.
Yeah.
Not to cut you off, but hold on, Brian. I got to add to that.
Go ahead.
It's relevant to your point, but it's not just teams that play the Patriots. It's just teams across the board in college football and NFL. Once they get those leads, they stop playing the way they got into the lead. Like, I understand playing prevent when there's a minute left and you're trying to stop them for a touchdown. But when you're only up by one, two, or three, and they just need a field goal, I don't think you need to be in prevent. I don't think you need to be. And they keep running these dime packages and like just straight prevent no matter what, just because everybody's so scared to get burnt deep. Well, you know something? If you can get pressure to the quarterback, it's hard to throw the ball deep. So bring some fucking pressure. Don't let him sit in the back pocket, sit in the pocket and, have him where he's comfortable. And I just don't understand how these coaches get paid millions of dollars and they just don't understand that concept. Like, I'm a big Florida fan, and we won in that Hail Mary this year against Tennessee. Like, what the fuck was Butch Jones doing? Like, with his defensive package, that's when you play prevent, but he didn't have a prevent defense in there. He just had a straight dime package with only two deep safeties. That's it. He didn't have anybody else back there. He had a corner 10 yards off the ball. So it's like, it made no sense. And it just seems like, I don't know. I know these guys know more about football than me. Well, whatever. But sometimes I question that. You know what I mean? So I just thought that was relevant to what you said.
Yeah. So there's not a whole lot more that I feel like needs to be said. Just if somehow the Eagles are able to get the ball in the hands of their playmakers consistently, I think that they have a chance to win. But overall, I mean, it's just tough to pick against Brady.
Yeah, but where are these playmakers you're talking about? Like, why do you think the Eagles have more playmakers? Because I really don't think they do. I know Alshon Jeffery is a big talent, but he hasn't really gelled with that team.
I think Jeffery's as good as any receiver on the Patriots.
Yes, but it's all about the scheme and how they fit in that scheme. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you stick Jeffery with Brady, he's going to be he's going to be a 10, 12 touchdown guy. And so it's like, I don't think there's anybody, like, their running game isn't any better. Like, Ajayi's overrated as hell. And Blunt was, he's just a touchdown vulture. He's nothing, he's not really going to get you that chunk yardage you need. You know, he's your He's your, goal line back in this offense anyway. And how many touchdowns does he have this year? Like 4? Nothing exceptional. He had 18 last year when he played for the Pats. So it's all about scheme, and I don't think a lot of these players fit into this scheme. Aguilar is like a good deep ball threat, and they don't ever really get him the ball. He's a decent playmaker. They don't really have any scat backs that are worth a shit anymore. Sproles is out. Who else do they really got? Like Wendell Smallwood. I mean, they don't really have anybody that – I don't think they really have that many playmakers that put them in a tier above the Patriots. Like the Patriots had Deion Lewis and James White, which may not pop out to a lot of people, but those guys are playmakers, and they play by a committee, and their stats per play, like their per reception and per rush is outstanding. Mm-hmm. They put the
I respect Lewis. He was actually on the Browns briefly, and then he like broke his leg, and then they ended up letting him go. And of course, now he's on the Patriots.
He was stud for Pitt. He went to Pitt. He was a stud.
I think the Eagles have the better receiver and the better running backs, like in terms of talent. Maybe not, they don't have like the statistics, but I think the talent is there. That's what I'm saying about putting it in the hands of the playmakers.
No, I get you. I'm not saying
they're going to win. I'm just saying I know.
I think, well, if you look like position-wise, I think that outside of Jeffrey, New England probably has a better lineup of playmakers to throw the ball to.
They got
a better tight end.
Absolutely.
They got a better tight end, Gronk over Ertz. Even though Ertz is a good player, Gronk's better than them. I like New England's running game over the Eagles. I truly do. I think Ajayi, like I said, I personally think he's overrated. I mean, he had a couple of 200-yard games last year, and he showed flashes, but he's so wildly inconsistent. He hasn't done shit since he's been in Philly. And Blunt. Like, Blunt is what you get. And he's not scoring near as many touchdowns this year. And I think the running game is better on New England, and they got a better quarterback. So I think at the end of the day, the Eagles got a better D. There's no lie there. But I think the disparity between how productive – New England's offenses in comparison to the Eagles. I know people can show me metrics for their teams where they're similar. That's what Carson Wentz at quarterback. Okay. They fell off dramatically since he's gone. They just kind of pulled these games. So they're in a weak they had a weak schedule to end the season. So And Dallas was a fucking shit storm, and they lost 6-0 to them. And it's just, I don't know, man. I do know, actually. I don't know why I'm even saying I don't know. I know what's going to happen. I think the Patriots – it was a space filler. Fucking Patriots are going to win this game. I think from top to bottom they're a better team, and they got a better kicker.
All right.
But they don't punt
and
well.
And I agree.
I agree.
As much as I was playing devil's advocate for how the Eagles could win, I still picked the Patriots. So, okay. So this takes us to the final bit about the Super Bowl I wanted to bring up, and it is my favorite part about the Super Bowl. And no, it's not the commercials. It's the bets. This time of the year is when the odds makers get the most creative, because this is the most watched television program of the year. So there is a lot of crazy shit that goes down. They have the big halftime shows, the big national anthems, tons of crazy advertisements, tons of so that means that there is a lot of room for crazy shit to happen, and there is a lot of things to bet on. So some of my all-time favorite prop bets that have ever been released, one was, will No'Shawn Moreno cry during the national anthem? Do you remember that one? when the Broncos were in the Super Bowl. And then there was another one, the Who were doing the halftime show. And I don't know if you know this, but when they play Baba O'Reilly, Pete Townsend, the guitarist, does a shit ton of windmills when he's playing that song. And there literally was a prop bet on over under how many windmills Pete Townsend does on his guitar during Baba O'Reilly.
That is fucking awesome.
So this year,
I wonder what the win was that.
Yeah, I don't remember. You remember there was an over-under on how many times Peyton Manning said Omaha? Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. That was on ESPN.
Yeah, that was a pretty popular one. But this year, I think they took the cake, okay? there are a metric fuck ton of hilarious prop bets for the Super Bowl. I mean, there's obvious ones, like how long is the national anthem going to be? And Pink is doing the national anthem. And there are multiple prop bets on Pink. I mean, there's, will she go airborne during the national anthem? what color is her hair going to be? There's like eight options. Currently, Blonde Platinum is the heavy favorite.
Yeah, I saw that.
Will her outfit show cleavage during the national anthem? Will Bill Belichick wear a hoodie? Go ahead.
There's one about what color his shirt would be before kickoff.
Yes.
The overwhelming favorite's blue. four number five. Yeah.
How many times will Donald Trump tweet on Super Bowl Sunday? Right now, the over-under is 5.5.
That's great.
How many Super Bowl commercials will Peyton Manning be in? 3+ or less than 3? what color will Justin Timberlake's shoes be during the halftime show? The current leader is white.
White.
Whether or not Justin Timberlake will perform with any members of NSYNC in the halftime show.
Oh, that shit. Is bring out the NSYNC.
That's at +600. You can make some bank if you've got some inside information on any members of NSYNC showing up. Bro, and then this one it might be my favorite. Okay, go ahead if you've got something else.
Oh, I was going to say, I was reading them, and the color of the liquid dumped on the winning coach.
Yes, the Gatorade.
Yeah. Yeah. The favorite right now is blue at +250. So if you bet on blue, bet 100, you'll get 250 plus your 100 back. The real kicker is if you bet 100 on purple, you get +1,000. So might as well bet on purple just to see for the fuck of it. It might happen.
Yeah. Okay. This is my favorite. And if you'd have said something about it, if you'd seen it. So how many times will the word dilly be said from kickoff to the final whistle?
Like,
if you've seen that Budweiser commercial where they're like, dilly, 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 dilly.
Every time, just keep every saying, time a puff. Yeah, every time a playoff team losses in the comment sections, it says, Minnesota Vikings to the pit of misery, dilly, dilly.
So right now they are at over under 13.
Damn. I might take the over on that. But what is this for? Like, is this like what the announcers say, dilly, dilly? Like what you see like in commercials?
Commercials, announcers, like anybody says it on the broadcast, you name it. If the words dilly, dilly are said – from the opening kickoff to the final whistle that many times.
Dude, I will tell you, if they did it by internet, like chat, like freaking comment sections, they'd have to do like a over under of 15,000.
But it has to be said during the game, not typed. So, but yeah,
oh,
I mean,
funny. No, I love these ones. Hey, what would you
live for? Like the real creative.
What would you make a prop
ridiculous bet?
Yeah, I want you to tell me your prop bet right now. If you could think of one that you would do.
Like any prop bet for the game.
Yeah.
I would say, how about prop bet on who the Super Bowl MVP thanks first after he wins his award? Is it going to be Jesus/God? His teammates, his family, his coach, the owner, fucking nobody, McGregor style.
Well, honestly, all you'd have to do is go back and look at previous Brady MVP speeches, and then you'll have the answer for that one. I'm just saying. So I don't know, man. I'd probably be like over under on how many times the camera catches Brady fucking cussing at his team. Is it 4 times, 5 times? Because he goes fucking buck wild on that line, on that sideline, man. I love it. That could be that, or how about how many times you catch Bill Belichick smiling. Two.
Two.
Yeah, two.
That may be
when the clock strikes zero and they win, and when he's getting the trophy up on the stage. That's the only time he's smiling. And that's a maybe. So I like that one. Man, I love everything about the NFL. Like when it comes to like stories of these old timers, I remember listening to Mike and Mike in the morning, and he was talking about how these like linemen, they basically slosh around in their own piss all game. Like they just piss their pants during the game. I don't know if you realize that, but yeah, that's what, Mike, Big Mike was saying on Mike and Mike in the morning. That show's no longer on there anymore. But yeah, he was saying that they just basically piss in their pants. Some people are shit in their pants. Like he's talking about like the center, like the freaking quarterback's got to go under center and they're just touching sloshed up piss pants. This is how nasty it is. And he was talking about some of like the most derogatory shit talk you'll ever see in your life and just like everything. It's just amazing. I would love to have like a straight up mic, just mic'd up center. That would be awesome. They should mic up the center so you can see and hear all the shit talk that goes on at the line. Cause from what I've read in some books and shit, that there's some pretty bad stuff that they say. And they were actually talking about, I read something earlier, I think 2 days ago, about how Aaron Hernandez, like even before he got found out that he was a fucking serial killer, that people used to yell at him on the field, like, they found the body. They found the body. Everybody knew he was a fucking dumbass gangbanger, dude. That's crazy shit. But I don't know. I don't know what made me think of that, and that was really random to bring that up. But I was just thinking about it because of the prop bets, and I was thinking maybe it was over-under that a center pisses his pants. Who knows? Yeah, man. So, but yeah, what else you got? Who's your top players that you're going to look out for in the Super Bowl?
I'm telling you right now, Jay Ajayi. If the Eagles win, it's going to be because of him.
You think so?
That guy's literally single-handedly won me a fantasy football league because I picked him up as a free agent either, I think it was last year, not this season. He wasn't even, like, anywhere. And then, boom, he just dominated. So I'm putting my faith in him. If the Eagles have a chance, it's going to be because of him.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no other options. I think that, you know, you're going to have
Blunt doesn't have that.
You'll have Gilmore probably on Alshon, and I think he'll shut him down. I mean, I just don't think that I don't think there's anybody in the receiving core of Philly that's going to make a huge impact outside of maybe Ertz. And I know this is going to be stupid, but I think Rob Gronkowski is going to have a massive game. I know he suffered a concussion and everything, but I just think he's going to rip apart those linebackers for Philly. I just don't think there's anybody that's going to touch him. I think he's going to have a big, big game. Definitely. I think he might end up being your MVP, but they'll probably give it to Brady if they do win, obviously. I'm not saying it's a foregone conclusion, but I think that Pats are going to win handedly, but so if they do, I think it's Gronk's going to have a huge game. And I know it's cliche. It's not really going off on a ledge or anything like that, but you know what? It is what it is. So I think Brady and Gronk are just going to connect and tear. I think they're going to tear Philly up.
Probably
tear them up like a Mexican burrito. All right, man. So what do you want to get into that blog that I wrote?
Yeah, we can talk about that for a little bit and then we'll head home. So.
That's fine. I just wanted to get a couple of thoughts.
We'll let you start with it because it was your piece, and then I'll just offer a couple point counterpoint type of things.
Sure. I think all right. So my blog was the premise of it was the other night I was watching the highlights of James Harden. He had a 60-point triple double, and I don't know why it just triggered me to start thinking about. I never was a big James Harden fan. I thought he was kind of soft, and he always played soft D, and I just kind of never thought he translated well into, like, the older version of the NBA, like with Rodman and Jordan era and all that stuff, the Bad Boys and all those guys. And I just never thought that he would fit into that era. And it made me really start thinking about all the sports as a whole, NFL, MLB, NBA, anything. And, you know, old time, old school versus new school. And, you know, you get a lot of arguments about how, you know, the old timers are the greatest of all time. And Babe Ruth is the greatest player of all time. And all those guys like Stan Musial and stuff like that for baseball. And then you get into the NFL and you have like Johnny Unitas and, you know, Y.A. Tittle and stuff like that. And these guys are considered like all time greats. And I don't look at it that way. I look at it as for their era, they were the best players, but they're not the best players of all time. That's just how I look at it. Certain people measure things a different way. I measure it as in all time from start to finish. Since as long as we've been playing professional baseball, football, basketball, who's the best player of all time. And I don't think Johnny Unitas is the best quarterback of all time, even though he's one of the best quarterbacks of his era. Same with Bart Starr and Otto Graham and all those really great athletes. Sammy Baugh, all those guys, they just aren't, they just don't have the skill set. They don't have the athleticism and they don't have the size that these new quarterbacks have, or like how the defensive linemen back in the 60s and 70s, the average weight was 245 pounds, which is what the tight end weighs now. And I guess what Cam Newton weighs and Ben Roethlisberger and other quarterbacks weigh that much now. And the average defensive lineman and offensive lineman, they're both is around 6'5", like 305 pounds. So you have this massive uptick in size. You have all these guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and, you know, Michael Vick transcending the game with what he was doing. I mean, all these guys are playing against better competition and they're standing out above their peers against the best competition that we've ever fielded in these sports. So I consider those guys, these new stars, are the better players, and they're the best of all time. And that includes Babe Ruth. I know that's blasphemy because Babe Ruth is an absolute living legend. He's almost folklore because of like who he was. But he didn't even play against African American players. They had a separate Negro league. And he didn't have to play against people like Satchel Paige and, you know, Jackie Robinson and all those guys that just came later and or couldn't play at all in the league. And, you know, the home run champs around Babe Ruth's era were like 7 and 8 and 9 home runs. And then Babe Ruth just kind of came out and just started cranking them. You know, the league had the pitchers, you know, they were starting every 2 to 3 games. And, they didn't have these closers and they just, you know, arms got tired throughout the game and they didn't have these closers coming in or these relief pitchers. They didn't have that kind of system set up back in Babe Ruth's era. And, you know, he was just cranking these balls out of these shorter stadiums and like, you know, against lesser competition. Let's just put it the way it is. Plus he was, you know, smoking in the fucking dugout, you know, he's drinking beer before and after games. And he was just, He's just a cigar smoking big fat ball player, and he was ahead of his time. He was an amazing legend, and there's no doubt that Babe Ruth is just an absolute icon. And I'm not saying that I'm not taking away from anything like that, but my point being is that you stick Babe Ruth in his shell, and you stick him in now, and he has you know Chapman throwing 105 miles an hour at him. I mean, it's going to be a little bit different story. And that's and I know I wasn't back in the 1920s when Babe Ruth was swinging the bat, but I think I can make that conclusion, and I think I'll be okay with that. And I think that's just each era just gets better and better and better. And I just don't think that putting a player in the Hall of Fame is the equivalent to like the best of all time. I think that each Hall of Fame is set up perfect because it's set up to reward the players of those eras because, you know, they could become eligible within a certain amount of years. So that's when they get put in. So they're always – so it's kind of like how – do you get what I'm saying? It's always set up to always allow those players who are the best of their generation to get into the Hall of Fame where now it's like if you look at I wrote about him, Joe Namath. If you look at Joe Namath's stats, they're just, just absolutely fucking terrible. Okay? Joe Namath is an absolute icon in New York, and he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And the guy threw more interceptions than touchdowns in 11 of his 13 seasons. He threw 28 picks twice. He threw 20 picks five different times. He only completed 50% of his passes. He wasn't that great of a rusher. He only had 140 yards rushing his entire 13 seasons. He only had seven touchdowns rushing in 13 years, so about one every 2 years. He just threw for 4,000 yards in 1967, and that was a record, and that was kind of like – that kind of put him in this kind of pedestal that a guy can sling the ball around. And then he predicted their Super Bowl win in 1969, and they won. And that's basically it. But guess what? He was an electrifying person. Joe Broadway. You know what I mean? Like he was well known. He was a star. He was a sidewalk star. You know what I mean? So he got put into the Hall of Fame. And I think that back then writers, they elected the man, and they elected the kind of person they were and who they wanted to put in there, where our generation is stat driven. And a lot of, and you know, we have certain metrics that we want you to hit to get in there. And I think the only sport that really I would consider that maybe the older timers are a little bit better, and they're not even that old. Like we're talking like it's NBA, and we're talking like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, you know, Michael Jordan, and all those guys from the 80s and early 90s. I think they're better players than what you see now. But mm-hmm. You don't know that because Anthony Davis and DeMarcus, all those guys are playing in this era. You don't know how they would be back in that era. But yeah. I think that's the only argument you can make. And that's just my personal opinion. I just think that we're just better, faster, stronger in this era. And regardless of how legendary you think some of these players are, when push comes to shove, they're not as good. I would take Pujols over Babe Ruth any day of the week.
Oh, for sure.
And that's just... And that's just the way I think. And
you know, guys weren't throwing as hard back then either. Like people really only started to hit like the upper 90s, like recently. Like even Bob Feller probably never topped out more than probably 98, 97. And he was like known for, you know, freaking guys out with his fastball.
Yeah.
And now we've got like a Aroldis Chapman throwing a fucking 107. But there's the one thing that I wanted to say, like to kind of counter a couple things, was with basketball. I would say those early 90s, like the Dream Team era.
Yeah.
It was so much more physical back then because they changed all the rules. You're not allowed to hand check. You're basically not allowed to touch people. Because back then, guys would literally just get the shit kicked out of them when they drove to the basket. So they had to like completely play a different style of game. So I think that's really the only counter I have, is that still would make me think that Jordan is right up there as the best. Because, I mean, he played in an era where, I mean, the guys literally would just be punching you in the face and shit, like when you drove to the basket. Remember the Jordan rules and all that stuff. So that's my only real counter. So,
in terms of
physicality and athleticism, I'd say today's players are more athletic and they can do bigger and stronger things.
Exactly. I mean, I just think of like, the reason I said Pujols, send him in a time machine back and just let him play one year like in Babe Ruth's era.
Mm-hmm.
And just guess what's going to happen? Time is freaking history will change, and then we will look back in the record books and Pujols will basically be a fucking Greek god, almost like not even a real person because his numbers would be so damn good. You know what I mean? And that's how you look at Babe Ruth for his home runs and everything and his 714 home runs. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, Babe Ruth in the 1920s, and you know, Pujols is Pujols. You know, when he ran through that point where I thought he was probably the best baseball player ever, he had that like a little streak where he was just so amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like to use Pujols. I know Pujols has fallen off a little bit, but he's never been plagued by any steroid accusations or anything. You know, Pujols seems to be pretty clean. So, but yeah, you just get, I've had this argument a couple times at the poker table, because I put, you know, when you play poker, you play with a lot of older guys, and these guys are just, you know, like Terry Bradshaw. Yeah.
They'll stand by their era every time.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I want to be like, yo, man, that was your era. They dominated the era. They deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and that's how you honor them. They're in the Hall of Fame. They were above their peak when they got elected. But each generation just gets better and better. Like, I think in 20 years, some of these guys that we think are amazing now are not going to be shit when in 20 years. You know, we're just going to get bigger, faster, stronger. And I like to, that was my whole point to that article, is that, you know, you don't take anything away from those guys. They dominated their era. And at that point, they were the best of all time because they dominated that era. But they're no longer in that conversation. Babe Ruth is no longer in the conversation for me for being the best player of all time. He's just the biggest legend of all time. He's known by people that don't even like sports. You know what I mean? He's the greatest legend the sport of baseball, and maybe even sports in general, has ever seen. But he's not the best baseball player of all time. Mm-hmm. And that goes across sports for all the old timers. So sorry. That's just my opinion. So go read my blog. I have a way more in depth on that. And I just you know, that's my opinion. Yeah.
You should have titled it Sharple Shits on Your Nostalgia.
That should be like the subtitle. Oh man, that's awesome. I might even change that for our show, our shared posts.
There we go. All right, so without further ado, we've got one last segment for today's show. It is Hems Gems, baby. All right. In today's edition, we're going to keep it sweet and simple. There is a rock album that I think people should check out, and it's a band that I finally gave a chance to after many years of knowing they existed, and it's Fozzy, Chris Jericho's band, Y2J, from WWE fame. He's had a band for fucking years. And then they finally released an album that I actually think is pretty good. Like, it's actually got some mainstream attention. Have you ever, I don't know if you've even heard anything about it, Sharples, have you?
No.
Did you even know he had a band?
No.
Okay. I'm not joking. This is serious. This is a real gem. I only put shit in here that I think you really should check out. And Jericho's hit single called Judas on this album is fucking catchy. Like, if you like rock music, you will like this song. So we're going to post that on our Facebook page after the show. But Sharples, I want you to listen to it, and I want you to legitimately listen to it and not just be thinking Y2J the whole time, and actually hear what you think after you hear it, because it is legitimately a good song. And the album is actually good too. I don't know if I'm going to go back and get other Fozzy shit, but this one legitimately is good. So I actually recommend people going and checking out Chris Jericho's band, Fozzy. They've been around for like over a decade, but I think they finally got some mainstream attention with this latest album, and definitely check out Judas, which is a very good song. So that's it. That's my one gem for today's show. I'll probably try not to blow my load with gems every single, like a ton of them every week, because I have to do it twice a week now. So
you need to find some better gems. Put some more thought into this.
I'm telling you, this is a good gem. You will listen to
Judas. No more Netflix. Like, I think
that's why I didn't think of Netflix thing this time.
You need to find gems as in like a fucking strip club with the all you can eat buffet or some shit. Like you need to.
That's your job when you're out on the road. I'm not out. I barely leave Wyandotte County, so. There's like, I don't even know if there is a strip club in Wyandotte County.
Probably. Find some barn somewhere. Let me ride this hog. Watch Melinda ride this hog, baby. All right. Let's fucking send off. Everybody go to the Ad Odds Podcast Facebook page and give us a like, and we'll shout you out. But, at Belly Up Sports on Twitter, bellyupsports.com, and Belly Up Sports Facebook page. Visit that www.bellyupsports.com. Get those clicks going. Read those blogs and enjoy our content. Our podcast is on there. We're going to be adding some things on there shortly. We're getting more podcasts. We are adding more podcasts. Bar Down Sports, which is a guy, Jake. He's doing a podcast that we just added that talks about hockey and beer and all drinking. Kinds of fun shit.
Yeah.
And drinking, yeah. Drinking beer. So no, he's a funny dude. I think that show's gonna do well, especially for hockey fans, because you need more content, because hockey's kind of overlooked a little bit in this country. And I think you guys will enjoy that. And we're all adding blogs, and I'm waiting for Hemi to get some time to add a blog to our page. And so we're doing some good content, and those videos are gonna be starting here real soon. So that's gonna be awesome. So yeah, guys, keep in touch with our pages and just keep looking for content and showing your support. And the more we grow, the more content we can give you. And it's going to be awesome. So thanks for the show.
All right. Thank you. And get Rickrolled, motherfuckers.